The mother of Moses, she hid him for 3 months. The story just tells it like this. Born in obscurity, born in slavery, gives birth in a time of very real danger. God brought the deliverer of Israel, born of a woman. He brought the deliverer of Israel through a godly mother. God brought the deliverer of the world through a godly mother. The Word became flesh in the womb of a godly mother.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today, we turn to the first chapter of the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, A Story of a Godly Mother. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
We're going to look at a story. The Bible is one big story. But we're going to look at a story within the story. A story of a godly mother. Lord, as we turn to your word, how thankful we are that when we open this book, these words came forth from your very mouth, from your very heart. And as we right now pause, we ask that you would speak to us by your word and give us ears to hear. I pray particularly that our mothers would be encouraged and strengthened and blessed. But Lord, I pray that for each of us as we hear your word now that points us to your Son, Jesus, in whose name we come. Amen. A story of a godly mother. I'll get it out of the way right now. The mother of Moses. And I want us to just pause and think about that. How much human history is encompassed when I say that? This great deliverer of Israel, the mother of Moses, the mother of Miriam, the mother of Aaron, the grandmother of Eleazar and Ithamar, the great grandmother of Phinehas. So we want to look, and I had you turn to Exodus right at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. Listen to these words as you get to the end of the Bible. Because as I think about human history, it doesn't end. Oh, there was a beginning. There is no end. And as I read the book of Revelation, I see where this is all going, and that amazing vision that John was given of the future. And here's a scene that thrills my heart. I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who'd come off victorious from the beast and from his image and from the number of his name standing on the sea of glass holding harps of God, and they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, you King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. We're going to be singing that someday. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And it's quoted right out of the deliverance in Exodus. And Miriam sang responsively with Moses, and it had to be a wonderful time, that deliverance and that singing. And so, as I think about it, it's a story of a godly mother who had huge impact. I mentioned Moses. He's the one we think of the most. But Miriam led worship, and Aaron, the high priest, and Eleazar and Ithamar. And then the 106th Psalm, when it reviews the history of Israel, he says, remember that time? Because whenever you look at the history, you know, the Psalms, the history Psalms, they're very big contrasts. Israel's part and God's part. And our part, sin, failure. His part, grace, deliverance. You know, but there's times, as he looked back and he said, remember that time in Numbers 25? He didn't say this in the Psalm, but they didn't need to be told where it was. They remembered, and they were reminded as they listened to the 106th Psalm when God raised up judgment against them. 40 years, you know, 40 years in the wilderness being led by Moses, and in the 40th year, they started playing the harlot. And they fell into gross sexual sin. And God brought judgment, and there was a repentant weeping. And then somebody had the gall to just blatantly, publicly thumb his nose at God and Israel and the standards of God, and just belligerently, and Phinehas was raised up. Let me just read it real quickly. I should have turned there, but I wanted you to hear this because I think of her great-grandson. And Phinehas stood up and interposed, and so the plague was stopped, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness to all generations forever. To the third and fourth generation, this woman's life had big impact. Now, I'll turn to Exodus and join you as we take a look at this story of a godly mother, a story within the story. It's a story written for our instruction. Whatever was written in this book, we can know was written for our instruction. It's written to encourage, to teach, to exhort, to guide us in life. And today, I just remind us, the book of wisdom begins by saying, don't forsake the teaching of your mother. Honor your mother. One of the 10 words, 10 commandments that God gave. Jesus, in the extremity of hanging on the cross, he had 7 things to say. And each one is just loaded with meaning. What he said as he hung on that cross, and one of those sayings was to his mother, taking care of his mother. So, a story of a godly mother. It's a story of love, a story of sacrifice, a story of faith. And it's a story that we can get much instruction from. Verse 22 of chapter 1, the setting. Thus Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you're to cast into the Nile, and every daughter, you're to keep alive. Once upon a time, you know, sometimes you hear that and you know immediately, okay, what's coming? Well, let me give you the setting here. Once upon a time, the book of Genesis closed with the beloved son of the father, Joseph. His brothers, the sons of Israel, were jealous of him. They hated him. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver, threw him in a pit. And God raised him up out of that pit and made him deliverer, not only of Israel, but of the whole known world. You remember the story? If you don't, it's well worth reading. It's about the last 12, 13 chapters of Genesis. And it's a great picture. Even as I tell it, you can't miss. And God puts those stories in the story to point us to the story. Joseph is a great type of the beloved son that I'm here to proclaim today, who was killed by his jealous brethren, thrown in a pit, and God raised him up and he becomes the deliverer, not just of Israel, but of the world. Well, there came a time 320 years later, after Genesis closed. Look at verse 8 of Exodus 1. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. 320 years, not only did the Israelites go from being favored guests, but a Pharaoh arose who didn't even know who Joseph was. And they are now 320 years into slavery in Egypt under the thumb of Pharaoh. I mean, 320 years, think about it. Because this is 80 years before the Exodus. Go back 320 years. Can you do the math? From now. How much do you know about the year, what is it, 1699? We weren't even a country. George Washington wasn't even born. Yeah, it's easy to forget this stuff, isn't it? Well, 320 years later, there arose a new king who didn't know about Joseph. And he said, hey, the people are getting too numerous. We're going to have to, their property, they're mine, they're my property. Kill the boys. I don't want them getting out of hand where they just cast them into the Nile. It's a dark day. Verse 22. Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter, you're to keep alive. A sadistic Egyptian despot cast the boys into the Nile. Not unlike our day. This story begins in a dark day. China. You can have one. You can have one baby. It will kill the rest. Cast them into the river. What? What about America? We have slaughtered well over 50 million of our own babies since that infamous ruling. And now, we've got maybe over, I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't believe the polls. I just know one thing. Many, many men and women who would be president of our country are advocating infanticide. And no one's saying too much. And they still poll well. In fact, they work to get further down that line. It's a dark day we live in, but take courage. The light of the world has come into this dark day. The one that Joseph prefigured came. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. Jesus Christ came, the Word became flesh, and the darkness did not extinguish him, did not overcome him, did not even comprehend him. Praise God, he is at work, even in dark days. And even as I start a message here in a dark setting, I want to encourage you that we're here to proclaim the deliverer, not just the deliverer of Israel, but a greater than Moses, Jesus Christ. Well, it was a dark day. Now of man, verse 1, from the house of Levi went, and married a daughter of Levi. A wedding. A marriage. In this story, a nameless man marries a nameless woman. Her name is not in lights, this mother. Her name isn't even in biblical lights. Hannah, Mary, Elizabeth, Naomi, Ruth, Deborah, Sarah. You know? Now, Her name isn't even in biblical lights. You know, your name might not be in lights. Your name might not even be in lights. You know, we just saw Catherine and Amber. And you think, you know, nobody even knows my name here at Southwest. Let me tell you, much better than your name in lights, your name in even church lights, you know? Much better than that. The one who named every star. We can't even count the galaxies. And Isaiah 40 says, he calls all the stars by name. The one who knows the name of every star. I read in John 10, verse 3, that great passage about our good shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name. I'll tell you, there's one who knows your name. You may feel nameless, Mom. You may think, hey, yeah, I'm obscure, whatever. The king of the universe knows your name. Well, there's a marriage. And a woman, verse 2, a woman becomes a mother. The woman conceived. Do you remember the day you heard you were expecting? What a joy. Changes your whole perspective. Changes. Your life will never be the same. You remember that day? I'll bet you do. Your values, your priorities, all of a sudden, everything. Nothing will ever be the same. I remember 1979, because I'm not just talking to mothers. I'm talking to fathers, too. I'm talking to all of us. And I remember that day well. Well, this woman, born in obscurity, a Hebrew woman. By the way, Yocheved is her name. God knows her name, and he gave us her name in Numbers or Exodus chapter 6 later on. And she was married to Amram, and her name, Yocheved, Yahweh, the Lord, Kaved, glorious. The Lord is glorious. I like her name. But she was born in obscurity, and she was born in slavery. They're my property. My property, Pharaoh said. Throw them in the river. I mean, it just brings to mind some much of history, doesn't it? The ugliness of human history. She bore, look at verse 2, a son. It's a girl. Well, do I remember that little button. 1980, when Katie was born, it's a girl. And then 82, Jess, you know, it's a boy. Chris still has those little buttons, you know? It's a boy. It's a girl. But look at verse 2. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, he was beautiful, baby. They all are, by the way. Don't ever argue that point. No, they all are. But she saw that he was beautiful. And by the way, three times in Scripture, here, and way centuries later in Hebrews 11, this is underlined. His parents saw that he was a beautiful baby. And in Acts 7, when Stephen stood up to recount the Israel's history to the leaders of Israel, he used this same word and he modified it with this thought. He is beautiful. He was lovely in the sight of God. Every child is beautiful in the sight of God. Enjoy that. I you know, we were teaching, what was it, Psalm 116 last week, and I mentioned that these psalms can become familiar because, you know, we love them. And so a lot of you have memorized portions of the 127th Psalm, because time after time we've got a flower up here because God has blessed us as a church family with so many young babies in the last few years. And so really, you know, we love to sing and praise God, and children are a gift from the Lord. Don't forget that. Our culture doesn't reinforce that. You young parents, you've got, you know, colleagues at work. Your generation says, I'm sorry. It's going to derail your career. Or whatever. And it's not polite to say that, so they kind of rejoice with you. That's fun. But you know, our culture, by and large, won't remind you of this. Let me tell you. Children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Don't ever forget that. Don't listen to the voices that are chirping away in opposition to God's word. You know, the grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And I'll tell you, whether it's popular now or it was popular what people valued, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, or what they'll value 60 years, who cares? In one sense, what does God value? And I'm telling you, in Moses' day and in our day, and until we're home in heaven, children are a gift from the Lord. Mother, remember that when you're nursing and you're sleep deprived. Children are a gift from the Lord. Parents of two-year-olds, remember that. Six-year-olds, children are a gift from teenagers. Take it by faith. Children are a gift from the Lord. I mean it. God means it when he says that. God brought the deliverer of Israel, born of a woman, born of a mother. He brought the deliverer of Israel through a godly mother. God brought the deliverer of the world through a godly mother. The word became flesh in the womb of a godly mother. Don't ever let anybody depreciate your role. We need to be reminded of these things. Oh, but this story deepens. Verse 2. She hid him for 3 months. This nameless woman, this nameless mother, the story just tells it like this. Born in obscurity, born in slavery, gives birth in a time of very real danger. Very real danger. A dark day.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, A Story of a Godly Mother, a message from the first chapter of the book of Exodus. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, we'd like to invite you to join our outdoor summer services. Throughout the month of July, we'll be holding our morning services in the great outdoors. Come join us on our spacious lawn each of these Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. You can bring your own lawn chairs or blankets, or use one of the chairs provided at the service. We'd love to have you join us as we worship our Lord outdoors this summer. If you'd like more details, head on over to our website at swbible.org. We hope to see you there. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to RomansProject.org or connect with us at Facebook.com/RomansProject. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
The soldiers didn't see this wicker basket, and a passerby didn't see this wicker basket. Pharaoh's daughter saw it, and verse 6, when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying, and she had pity on him. His sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "What are you doing here? What is a Hebrew girl?" None of that. Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go ahead." The girl went and called the child's mother. You know, we never know how God will give back to us what we've given over to Him.
Join us again next time as we continue in Exodus chapter 1. Pastor Scott brings part 2 of the message titled, A Story of a Godly Mother. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.